Good morning once again. And Lord, once again, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for putting worship in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you enjoy it when it's sincere, when it's in spirit and truth, when it's real. And what other kind is there? Because we're worshiping you. Lord, I pray that you'd open up your word for us this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd change our lives. I pray that you'd touch us in a mighty way. Open up heaven for us. Send your spirit. Send your word, which does not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning was Psalm 141, 1 and 2. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, I've actually shared this once before. It was several years ago. But I felt led to share it again. Because at our age, we don't remember anyway, do we? Incense and empty hands. There was a man back in the early 1960s who had a hit record. And it was called My Boomerang Won't Come Back. I've got the lyrics. I'm not going to read them all. It was about a young man that was having trouble getting his boomerang to come back. Anybody here remember that song? He was an Aborigine. His name was Mac. It says that in the lyrics. I didn't know that. Anyway, the rest of his tribe found out about it, so they banished him. You know, we can't have a backless boomerang person, I guess. So he's out in the wilderness for several months, and this old man comes and knocks on his door. So what's the matter? What's your problem? And he says, my boomerang won't come back. He says, my boomerang won't come back. I've waved the thing all over the place, practiced till I was blue in the face. I'm a big disgrace to the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. So the old man says, don't worry, boy. I know the trick. And to you, I'm going to show it. If you want your boomerang to come back, well, first, you've got to throw it. We're talking about prayer today. See, there's a spiritual lesson in that song. Even in some 1960s novelty song, we can find spiritual lessons. A lot of times it's, you shouldn't be listening to this. How's your prayer life? Is there a solution, a magic formula for prayer? Psalm 121:1, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's the key. Lift up our eyes to him. lift up our prayer to him. Remember, he made heaven and earth. He can take care of my problems. Seek him. Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Early tells us when we should pray. That doesn't just mean early in the morning. That means early in whatever situation we happen to find ourselves in. You know, we shouldn't be saying if all else fails, we need to pray. No, we do that first. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He goes on to illustrate that by speaking of a man named Elijah. In James 5:17 and 18, it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer. Was he being presumptuous? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He had the word of God to base his prayer on. He knew that his people in Israel were being wicked. They were idolaters. They were sinning against God. And he also knew that in Deuteronomy it said, if you turn away from me, I'm going to stop the rain. There you go. He had that to stand on. He had God's word to stand on. He knew what was going to happen. And then 3.5 years later, he prayed again. Because God told him to go talk to Ahab and I will send the rain. So he knew what God was going to do. At the beginning, the first time it even mentions about Elijah, he's one of my favorite people in the Bible, actually, Elijah. He just walks into the king's office there, goes right up to his desk, his throne. It's not a desk, it's not the Oval Office. And he says, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, it's not going to rain until I say it does. And he turned around and walked out. Can you imagine that? Who was that guy? I don't know. He's dressed awful funny. But he knew who he was. He knew who his God was. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand. He was there with the word of God. For the one he knew. And he also knew God's word. That can be kind of important, can it? That's very important. Anyway, that didn't make him very popular in Israel. They sent King Ahab, sent people out to kill him. He had to hide, but God protected him. Hebrews 11:6, I think I quoted this last week. You get to hear it again. Well, that's right, short-term memory, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. When we pray, who are we talking to? God. We must believe that he is. He is? He is what? He's everything he needs to be and he's everything we need him to be. Who should I say is sending me? Tell him I am is sending you. I am. He is. I am. I am everything I need to be and everything you need me to be. That's really about all we need to remember about that, isn't it? The all-sufficient one. Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So when we pray, who are we talking to? It also says in that verse that we're supposed to come to him. We're supposed to seek him. In other words, we're supposed to believe that he is. You know, God's name isn't I could be. It isn't I might be. It isn't I used to be or I was. And it's not sometimes I am. I am is his name. When we pray, we need to know about God. We need to know about ourselves. We need to know where our heart is. Is prayer just a shopping list? Sometimes it is. Remember as a kid making those Christmas lists that you send to Santa Claus? Yeah. Well, we won't go there. Wrong season anyway, right? There was a child once that was praying. He was praying out loud. And his prayer, I can quote it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Why are you praying that? Well, I don't know what to say. I'm just putting out the letters. I'm going to let God rearrange it in any way he wants to. But that's faith. We don't always know how we should pray. A lot of times we're not very satisfied with our prayers either. I'm not satisfied with my prayers. Especially when I hear other people pray a lot better. Does that matter to God? Oh, we want to have those glowing, flowing words. But yet that's just vanity, isn't it? Charles Spurgeon said, we often pray best when we stammer and stutter, and we pray worst when words come rolling like a torrent, one after another. God is not moved by words. They are but noise to him. He is only moved by the deep thought and the heaving emotion which dwell in the innermost spirit. The book of Exodus has a description of the tabernacle. The tabernacle had three sections. There was two altars. The first was in the outer court. It was a brazen altar. The second was in the holy place, the golden altar or the altar of incense. The first was a place of sacrifice. The second was a place of worship. The first was God to man. The second was man to God. The first was made of brass. Brass represents judgment in the Bible. The second was made of gold. Gold represents glory. Paul mentioned glory in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The second verse of our opening scripture, the first part of it, says, let my prayer be set forth or directed to thee as incense. Incense. What is incense? What does that represent? Prayer. Revelation 5:8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. The odors are a product of the incense. And that's what ascends to heaven. As one commentator said, it wreaths, it coils, it swirls around up to God. In Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we find Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, in the temple. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. He was in the temple offering symbolic worship, while the people outside were offering real worship. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual and fervent. Those are words we use all the time, isn't it, in our daily language. So having noticed that, I looked him up. Effectual means it's either energio or energio, which means with energy. It means be mighty in, be active with efficient energy. Fervent prayer, we see that several times. We see the word fervent several times in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 4:8, it talks about fervent charity, which is number 10:18, without ceasing. 2 Corinthians 7:7 talks about a fervent mind. That's Strong's number 2205. It means zeal, ardor, heat. Acts 18:25 and Romans 12:11 talks about fervent in spirit. That's number 2204. It means to be hot, to boil. So if we take those and put them all together, including the one for effectual, we have to be hot, to boil with ardor and zeal, with mighty, active, efficient energy without ceasing. To be hot, to boil. Where does fire come from? In this case, in the temple, it came from the altar. Twice a day, morning and evening, incense was burned. Morning and evening. You know, I always heard that the best prayer has no beginning and no end. And I pretty much believe that. It should be an ongoing conversation. It's called having a relationship with God, isn't it? But we also have to have times of more intense prayer. We have to stoke the fire. We have to stir it up. Incense doesn't do anything if it isn't on fire. The priest had to get the coals from the altar of the sacrifice. We do too. Not only is Jesus Christ our priest, he's our sacrifice. Not only is he our priest and sacrifice, Hebrews 13 tells us he is the altar. We have to come back to the altar. We have an altar here. It doesn't get used as much as it should. There's a gospel song that I've been hearing lately on the radio. It's pretty current, I guess. And the song is Dust on the Altar. Do we have dust on the altar? Do we have dust on our own personal altar? Because you can build an altar anywhere. The Old Testament concept of worship is offering sacrifices. But in many places, there's something else. Micah 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but that you do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? What do we have to lift up to God with our hands when we lift them in the air? Ourselves, our lives, our hearts, our praise, our service, our obedience. First Samuel 15:22, Samuel was having a little talk with King Saul. He wasn't too pleased because God wasn't too pleased with what Saul had done. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Acts 7, 24 and 25, and God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things. We lift up our empty hands. You know, there's two ways of looking at lifting up our empty hands. The first way of looking at it is lifting up something up to God. What can we give him that he doesn't already have? Psalm 50, verse 10 says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In Genesis 14, he's called El Elyon, Lord Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. You know what that means? He doesn't just own the cattle on the hills, he owns the hills. There's a second way of looking at it. Empty hands lifted up. And it may be just as important. Psalm 116, 12 and 13 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Empty hands. Also about receiving. Alexander McLaren claimed it's more honoring to God. Receiving is more honorable to honoring to God He says taking is our truest worship, and the lifting up of empty expectant hands is in God's sight as the evening serpent sacrifice. So which is most important? I think they both are. It doesn't do us any good if we don't receive what God has for us, does it? And how do we receive? By faith. I think they both work in conjunction with each other. They're both important. I like to think of prayer as taking your request, wrapping your heart around it, and with all your might, with everything that's in you, throwing it up to God. So, if you want your prayer to be heard by God, well, first you got to throw it. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that listens. You are a God that hears. You hear our every word. You hear the desires of our heart. And you're willing to act on what we request. In Exodus, God told Moses, I have heard their cries. I have seen their sorrow. I have felt their pain. And I've now come down to deliver them. Lord, help us to put more of our heart into our prayers. And help us to always expect receiving from you. Receiving the answer. Help us to be willing to accept the answer that you send, because sometimes it's not the one that we think it's going to be. But Lord, that's okay. It's the one you want us to have. Help us to trust more. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for your presence in this place and your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all of us, each one of us. You'd guard our hearts and our minds. Guide us and direct us. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come up and talk to me. I don't want anybody to leave this building without Jesus. Don't be embarrassed. It's a lot better to be a little bit embarrassed now than experience hell. Everybody have a blessed day.